Tango Tango Papa 2052, April 21st, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Cheyenne, Wyoming. So, seems like it's been forever since I did the last podcast, but it's only actually been maybe 15 days, if that much. Let me look. When did I do the last podcast? Let's see. Less than that. It was on April the 4th. Today's the 21st. Well, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah, 16 days, something like that. So anyway, what ended up happening, I was, I ended up at Salt, unloading at Salt Lake City, or in the Salt Lake City area. And then after that, I sent the empty message, and usually they you send a load right away, and so they did. And what they ended up having me do was bobtail here to, or not bobtail, but deadhead, what that means, with an empty trailer to Cheyenne, here to Cheyenne, Wyoming. And they've got this Walmart distribution center where they do Walmart dedicated stuff. So Creek Carriers is the designated carrier for this particular Walmart distribution center here at Cheyenne. And I did this, got put on that once before, at least out of Cheyenne. It was about 2 years ago in January of 2018. And I did it for, I don't know, a week or two or whatever. I don't remember how long it was. It was longer than a week. But in any case, they sent me back here to do this again. And, so I've been doing that for the last 7 days, and I have to be honest, it seems like I've been doing it for a month, and I don't know, I don't remember it being so, the my perception of time being so distorted before, because normally time seems to pass fairly quickly, but this time, the past 7 days, it seems like they've just dragged by for some reason. Now, for one thing, I haven't been super busy, so I have had time to kind of sit in between loads. Then the other thing, some of the loads are in the daytime, and then some of them end up happening in the middle of the night, I don't have a problem sleeping. And I've been pretty well blessed with the ability to just, continually sort of flip my sleeping hours around. A lot of people have a problem they have to go to bed at the same time every night and get up at the same time every morning. I don't have that problem. I can pretty well flip my hours around any way I want. Now, I do end up feeling kind of weird at times. And I can end up, that is one of the triggers for like a pre-migraine event. Now that hasn't happened, surprisingly, even though I've really flipped my hours around two or three times this past week, that really hasn't happened. I haven't had haven't woke up with a, like a pre-migraine event type thing. Because sometimes that happens while I'm sleeping. And then I wake up with a kind of a mild headache that might take a day and a half to go away finally. But, so far that didn't happen. But I found out that they keep you on this for a week, a minimum of a week. If they put you on there, then they keep you for a minimum of 7 days. You can stay longer if you want to. Well, did I want to? Not really. today was the seventh day, and so they kind of moved me back into the national fleet. Now, maybe that, you know, I don't know if that's a mistake or not, because I did, you know, things are slow, generally speaking. I guess the you know, our freight is kind of slowed down. And that stands to reason, because a lot of the stuff that we haul, or at least that I haul, food stuffs, a lot of it ends up going to, you know, it's kind of institutional type food that ends up, ultimately, it's going to different types of institutions or different types of restaurants. And of course, as we all know, that has really slowed down, because, you know, pretty much everywhere, the restaurants they've either closed, or they have gone to a takeout-only model, which typically drastically slows their sales, you know, and therefore ends up slowing their demand for whatever their foodstuffs are. So whatever the, you know, whatever it is that they sell. And so that stands to reason that, you know, at least the stuff that I would haul would go down. Now, I think, you know, when I did the Walmart thing the last time 2 years ago, I seem to remember being somewhat busier. So what they may have done is, you know, kind of dumped a number of drivers onto that, and then, you know, and then it ended up kind of slowing it down, you know, even though they're sending out lots of stuff because it's Walmart. And those stores are just going like gangbusters from what I see. You know, especially like on the back end. They've got a lot of drivers that they're sort of feeding into that, you know, kind of into that system on the other end. At least on, you know, in this end, you know, the end that I was on. So in any case, today was the seventh day, and so I just, you know, I told them I want to go back to the national fleet. So now I'm just kind of parked here at Cheyenne. I have an empty trailer, and I'm just kind of here waiting for them to send me some sort of a load, which, you know, I'm expecting they'll probably send something tomorrow. Today's Tuesday, so tomorrow's Wednesday. So I'm expecting they'll probably send something, but in the meantime, I can take solace in the fact that while I was there this past 7 days, it seemed like a month, they announced they've got a little terminal inside the Walmart distribution center. You know, it's got a little three-bay shop and a, you know, and they have a dispatch office that's got I don't know how many dispatch employees, you know, because they work in shifts and what have you. So it's a number of people. But while, you know, just in the past few days, at first they made this announcement that someone in one of the shop employees had tested positive for the coronavirus, you know, so that they had, you know, really, you know, kind of wiped everything down and, you know, cleaned as much as they possibly could, and et cetera, et cetera. And then a couple of days later, you know, of course, I didn't, you know, I had to go in there to get paperwork. Didn't really loiter or use the restroom. Didn't really hang around in there very much. But then after that, a couple of days later, they announced, they didn't say it was a driver, they just said another employee from that operation had been diagnosed. They didn't really say if it was a dispatcher, or they didn't say, or, you know, or if it was a shop person, or if it might have been a driver, because there's quite a number of drivers. They didn't really say for the second one. So, but in any case, you know, they're passing out masks now, and of course Walmart in the past few days has sort of mandated all employees and contractors have to wear masks while they're on, you know, inside any company buildings, and which that's fine, I guess. In any case, I can kind of take solace in the fact that, you know, there could be other people that are infected that are going in and out of that office, you know, because if, let's say, it's a dispatcher, well, they're handing you papers, they're handing you paperwork, you're handing paperwork in. You have to use the door handles. You know, even though they may have people wiping them down and you wash your hands and try not to touch your face, still, they've had two people in that little facility that have been diagnosed within the past week with that virus. So, I can kind of take solace in the fact that, at least I'm away from that. Even though I might have stayed busy or had continued to do the Walmart dedicated thing, at least now I'm away from it, you know, ostensibly. So, and I am due home, and I told them I wanted to be home by the 30th. Today's the 21st, so I've got 9 days, you know, and then I can be home again. So, then another part, you know, three or four days ago, it was snowing like mad here, and it was, it was like bitterly cold. And I don't like driving in the snow. I don't care if I'm a truck driver or whatever, and I've been doing it for God knows how many years. I do not like driving on snowy roads. I do not like, and I especially despise driving on snowy mountain roads. And the problem, normally if I'm in a situation where I feel unsafe, I just stop. And I just maybe send a message. I find a place to stop and I'll send a message, and I've done that before a few times over the years. And I simply say, that's it. I feel unsafe. I'm, shutting it down right here. Let you know when I move again. But the problem, this Walmart stuff, these stores, they've got, typically they've got two or three drops on each trailer. And, those stores are expecting their stuff to come in, because they don't have very much of a storage facility, but most of those stores will have some sort of a freezer. But they don't have a whole lot of storage, and so all that stuff's just in time, so they're expecting those things to get there. Whether it's meat or vegetables or fruit or whatever it is, dairy, eggs, milk, whatever, they're expecting that stuff to be coming, so there's this sort of an extra added psychological pressure. Regardless of what the weather's doing, you gotta keep moving. Even though theoretically you could say, well, I don't feel comfortable, I want to stop. Well, in any case, I don't like that aspect of it either. But, and then the other thing, like I say, the hours keep flipping around. And even though I can sleep, it's still, like today was a good example. I was up until, it was about 2 o'clock, 2:30 this morning when I went to bed, and then got up again. I guess it was around 10 something when I woke up, and then, got up. And then, so then this afternoon, I felt sort of like around 5 o'clock or so, I was kind of feeling a little 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, feeling a little bit tired, but then now I'm feeling fine, and so I think I can go to bed tonight and get my hours sort of straightened back out. But part of that, 2 o'clock and 2:30 in the morning really isn't that late for me, but the day before I had I was up all night, and then I think it may have been a couple of days before that. I was up until like Well, yeah, I was up until one of the days I was up until 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning before I went to bed. And then the day, you know, I don't even know what day it was, but it was most recently, I was up until probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon before I went to bed, after having been up all night, you know, so... that was part of the reason I kind of felt a little bit tired last night, or today rather, after, you know, only being up until 2 or 2:30. So anyway, I slept late in the, you know, kind of late in the morning deliberately as well. So. But I can straighten that out pretty quickly. So this virus thing, you know, it keeps going on, and I don't know. Yesterday, I noticed that in Colorado, around the Denver area, the traffic has definitely picked up. You know, it's not quite back to normal levels, but it has definitely increased. And, you know, it would have been easy to imagine that was just normal traffic volumes. So I think things are picking up, and I think, you know, soon a lot of states are going to be, you know, hopefully opening the restaurants back up, and we can still do the social distancing, and, you know, it's not all going to be takeout. You know, hopefully we can go in there and into restaurants, and even if they, you know, kind of keep people apart, or limit the number of people that are in there at the same time, hopefully they can get the thing opened, those restaurants opened back up, you know, because it's a tremendous inconvenience. A lot of the TA truck stops, they arbitrarily just closed all their restaurants, and I don't know if that's a temporary measure, or they're waiting for, you know, because at the same time, TA had been, I don't know, for whatever reason, I've read articles where they've, even before this, they were experiencing problems. They weren't making, I don't know if they weren't making as much money as they thought they would, or they should, or they were losing money, or some locations may have been losing money. But there were articles, and, you know, you can go back and find them, that were written before this, that, you know, where they'd brought some guy in, and he was supposedly going to kind of figure out what to do with the franchise, you know, with all those TA truck stops, and kind of improve the sales, and kind of improve them. So that remains to be seen, but they may not... I wouldn't be surprised if they just take this opportunity to just kill off their sit-down restaurant, you know, sort of the country pride restaurants. I wouldn't be surprised if they just kill those off, because they've been kind of killing off some of them anyway before this, in favor of just, you know, putting in fast food franchises. So, and I have seen... some Denny's that closed. I've seen other restaurants as I'm driving around. I've seen other restaurants like IHOP, certain IHOPs are just closed. Because I guess they just feel that they can't make the takeout thing work. So hopefully things can kind of return to normal. That's what I'm hoping for. And I'm hoping that... you know, a lot of businesses will reopen, and, you know, the retail businesses especially, and things can kind of return to normal. You know, even though, you know, people are going to be a little skittish about staying back from each other, and people have their masks and what have you. So, you know, fine and dandy. But it's really been a big disruption. As I said before, you know, it's kind of like everything is being shaken, you know, kind of to the foundations, and it really is a sort of, to a large extent, it really is a reset. And it's primarily, it's a social reset. And if you think about it, you know, pretty much everything that we do as human beings kind of ends up revolving around how, you know, us relating to other people or doing things for other people. And this has been a big earthquake. Just like a massive earthquake that's gone on for months now. A couple of months. So, you know, of course that's unpleasant when it's happening. And, you know, it's going to be, who knows what's on the other side. It is, you know, it's kind of, it's anxiety producing for a lot of people. Because, you know, we don't know what's on the other side. I think that's probably one of the biggest anxiety producers of all is kind of not knowing what's on the other side. And, of course, that's worse for some people than others. But, as I said in a prior podcast, there probably were, you know, there have been a lot of excesses that have been going on. And how long could we, you know, because people want things to return to the status, things to return to the status quo. Well, the problem with that, the status quo was probably not sustainable. The status quo was probably a dead end. The status quo was probably, you know, would, you know, kind of end up being fatal. So something had to kind of come along and change, you know, and whether you, you know, there's some good evidence that the virus probably leaked out of a Chinese lab, or whether it did or it didn't, is really immaterial. China and, you know, with the aid of the World Health Organization, sort of deliberately, instead of, you know, containing it, because they insulated themselves from the Wuhan province, they insulated themselves from it, but they, at the same time, they continued to allow flights out of China all over the world, international flights. Just, and, you know, the only conclusion you can come to is that they wanted to deliberately spread the virus all over the world. They're communists. You know, so here's your Chinese export. You know, hope you're enjoying your cheap Chinese TV. Hope it's worth it. But regardless of that, you know, because you can blame this or blame that, but it did happen. It was allowed to happen. And, you know, things happen sometimes. Stuff happens. You know, and it really is, when stuff happens, regardless of why it happens, as I said before, it's a great opportunity to ask yourself, why am I here? Why do I exist? What is the purpose of this existence? Why am I conscious? Why is anything conscious? How is that even possible? How is it even possible that consciousness exists? Those kind of questions are really good ones to be asking yourself. So, but I do think that, you know, we're going to, you know, things will start turning around and things, you know, they begin to just kind of open things back up, and, you know, things can kind of begin to return to normal. You know, people can keep their distance, physical distance away from each other, and, avoid touching each other and that type of thing. And, if you want to wear your mask, have at it. Or maybe your job mandates you wear a mask. Well, get used to it, I guess. I don't know. I guess you'd get used to it. Doctors seem to get used to it. Nurses seem to get used to it. You know, me just briefly having to wear, because they passed masks out and I've got one, and I had to wear it several times, going into different Walmart facilities. And it's really annoying, because you get this, normally you breathe out your, the air out of your lungs is hot, it's like 90 something degrees, 90, whatever your body temperature is. So this hot air comes out, and you don't even realize it. But then, you have a mask, especially if the mask covers both your mouth and your nose, and all of a sudden you realize, what's this hot air? And I guess you'd get used to it after a while. But then if you're wearing any kind of glasses and the air escapes up around your nose, then it, even if it's a warm day, it'll still fog up the... kind of fog up your glasses. So it's, I guess you get used to it, though. I don't know. But not really fond of masks, So whatever. But if people want to wear them, fine and dandy. But I don't really... I will if I have to, but in most cases I'm not. So... But, that'll go on for a while. And on the other part, people have short memories. So things will kind of return to normal fairly quickly, I think. So, but in the meantime, it's still kind of going on. And in some states, it may linger for a while, sort of depending on the state. Maybe New York and New Jersey in particular. So, anyway, I've got a piece of audio about, 6-7 minutes from Joel. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. Just taking a little minute to rest and thought I'd chatter at you. And think maybe this stuff you talked about, the virus being a social reset. And I actually think maybe you're right. The reason I say that is I think at this time, maybe, at least I would hope, maybe my hopes are too high, that people start to look at, why are certain things the way they are? For example, Menards, I'm not sure if you know them or not, but they're like a hardware, the best kind of way to describe them is like a combination of a hardware store, a hardware / home improvement store, in a grocery store, because they actually have almost full groceries. I don't know if they have a meat department. I've only been in one once and for a short period of time. But they established a rule because of the virus that you cannot be in the store if you're 16 or under. All right. Not exactly sure the reasoning behind it, but I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to prevent people from basically just taking a trip to the store because they're bored. But what some people don't really realize is they're not stepping outside their bubble, and I'm hoping this virus causes people to do that. Because I have so many people in different threads and stuff, and I do it just because I enjoy the debate. I know I'm probably wasting my breath, but I enjoy the debate. I enjoy disproving people. I'll only go so far, though. If they can't provide actual references or links to their cockamamie ideas, then basically we're done. But in any event, so many people were in some of the threads were saying things like, well, you should only do curbside pickup. Well, there's a problem. Curbside pickup, right now, at least in Columbus and a lot of places, if you actually wanted to do curbside pickup or have groceries delivered today via Instacart or whatever, basically they're overloaded on the grocery end. Best you can probably do on some of the pickups is 5 days out, which is if you need food today, there's nothing you can do. You have to go to the store today. And all this is, you know, all, these are all well and good ideas, but a lot of these people don't really realize how much of a strain when everybody is trying to do curbside pickup to avoid going to the store, going into the store, why it's just not sustainable. Kind of why I mean, back when, you know, I was 5 or 6, my grandmother had a milkman, and the milkman would bring not just milk, but groceries as well. And that really wasn't a thing for a long time, from about 1983 or 84, until these recent new ways of doing it with Instacart. And Kroger does something called ClickList and stuff like that. Postmates, Uber Eats, and Grubhub, all those are the food delivery things for getting a restaurant delivery. But, you know, for a long time, the only kind of food that was delivered was pizza or subs. And then now we have all these other options. Now, strangely enough, Uber Eats, Grubhub, none of them are actually overloaded. They're fine. And I think the reason is because it's not the store itself that has to do it all. In Kroger's case, if you do a click list, people at the store go get the food for you. Now, I haven't looked at it, but there's another one called Ship It. I think it's called Ship It. They can deliver groceries from various stores, and Instacart's another one. But in both those cases, at least in Instacart anyway, and I've not checked Ship It, but Instacart, you know, they're 4 or 5 days out for groceries. So you pretty much, you know, when they talk about social distancing, you pretty much don't have a choice. If you need something at the store, you have to go get it. Then I had some tell me, well, a hardware store is not essential. But I said, what if you lose a water heater? What if you have a pipe that breaks in your house and you have to turn the water off in your house and you can't turn the water back on until you fix the pipe? All those different things are things that you need to actually go out in the public for, regardless of when it happens. So maybe we're not so dependent on deliveries anymore. It's just something I'm thinking about. You know, but in the Menards case, what if you're a single mom and Menards is the closest, the place that you have to go to get something to fix something at the house and then grab some groceries while you're there? So, I mean, yeah, and I've had both single mothers and just parents. I've been right in that boat where I had no choice, but we had to take our kid to the store, even if we didn't want to. So, because you know, you're not going to leave the 5-year-old alone at home. So, fortunately, mine's not 5 anymore. So, all right. Talk to you later, dude. Stay safe, and thank you so much for the job that you're doing.
Thank you, Joel. Yep, so, you know, a lot of that, you know, really isn't sustainable. You know, it's one thing to, you know, to have packages, you know, like you order something from Amazon or whatever, and you have the package delivered to your house, you know, and you've got the UPS person or the or the FedEx or the DHL or whatever it is, you know, that's going around, and, you know, that's just their job to do that, or the Amazon people, and that's just their job to kind of go around and, you know, put the package here and put the package in this house and that house and blah, blah, blah. That's one thing, but when you're talking about a bunch of groceries, that's, you know, you've vastly multiplied the number of items. It's not just one or two or three or four items. All of a sudden, it could be literally dozens of items that have to be, you know, kind of collected and gathered up. And, you know, so that's really not so sustainable. And then you could automate it. Well, what are you going to have, a robot that goes around the store and kind of gathers things up? So, yeah, I could see where that would be a big problem. But, you know, the whole thing, going back to the idea, you know, we really depend on each other. And when it, you know, it's the idea of sort of living out in the middle of nowhere and being, you know, sort of relying on, you know, being self-reliant, relying on yourself. That is one thing. But when it comes right down to it, none of us can really, there's very few of us that could actually survive that. You know, that's not sustain. That's not, you want to talk about something that's not sustainable. For the vast majority of us, and me included, that just isn't sustainable. It's not a sustainable model. So we really do need each other. We really do need to interact with each other. It really is necessary for us to have some basis, well, actually multiple bases, on which, you know, kind of we interact with each other. You know, and you can, you know, and there's very, you know, people interact with each other in various different ways, and generally speaking, you know, in a civilized society, in a civilized country, things tend to work pretty darn well most of the time. You know, now this virus kind of comes along, and I think the hysteria has really been worse than the virus. So what they're finding with this virus is that, you know, I've watched a bunch of videos about it, of course, and so in some places, I think they, you know, some places like the Bay Area of California, they tested a sample of random people. They've done the same thing a couple of other times in other countries. And what they found is that they were shocked at the number of people that turn up positive for the antibody. So that says basically that this has been circulating, probably maybe going back into September, well, maybe not September, October, November, you know, the virus was kind of circulating then, and it's sort of under the radar, and we, you know, didn't really know what it was. But the thing is, some people, you know, we don't know real percentages, you know, actual percentages, but there seems to be a substantial number of people that are asymptomatic. In other words, they have no symptoms. They can have the virus. The virus is in their system for a period of time, and they may never have any symptoms. There are other people that develop mild symptoms. There are other people that develop more severe symptoms. And, of course, there's the people that end up in the hospital with really severe symptoms. And then there's the people that actually end up dying. So, you know, and then of course there's the drugs, you know, and then the hydroxychloroquine or I don't remember the name of it, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, the malaria drug has been, you know, it's been promising. I've watched a bunch of videos. You know, the drug itself is promising, you know, with a lot of the patients. But Trump promoted it. Trump mentioned it. And they hate Trump so much that the media has been trying to poo-poo that as, no, it's not effective. And they don't want people using it. Even though it's commonly used for malaria, it's commonly used for lupus. People, you know, women, a lot of women are diagnosed with lupus. And so they use that as a way of sort of suppressing the immune system. The hydroxychloroquine, or I can't remember what it is, something like that. But in any case, you know, there are drugs, and you know, so that do seem to be doing something. And but regardless of that, the virus may not be nearly as deadly as what. I think in the end, it's going to be shown that it's really not nearly as deadly as what they've made it out to be. And so it's, you go back to the idea of, you know, yelling fire in a crowded theater. You know, and that's basically what the media does, and that's what they did with this. And the mass hysteria is actually much more dangerous than the virus. Because look at all the economic upheaval that's been caused. You know, the job losses and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's been caused by this. You know, so and by the way, I was thinking about this earlier. You know, a lot of people love to believe, Christians, there's a lot of Christians, and I'm going to pick on Christians, a lot of Christians believe that, you know, they've really found God, and et cetera, et cetera. They've, you know, there's this, you know, this idea that they're filled with the Holy Spirit and that they've got peace and all this stuff. Well, you know, I'll take your word for it. If you're one of those people and you say that, yeah, I'll take your word for it. But, you know, and you could say the same thing to me, because I really, you know, I don't claim anything, but I do claim one thing, that I'm completely at peace, regardless. That's one thing that I claim, and it's, you know, I can say it, and it may not mean anything to you, but whoever you are listening, may not mean anything to you, but that's my experience. And, you know, it's unshakable. But I was thinking about it, you know, if you, you know, what it really comes down to, and I believe, you know, I believe this, if you respond to mass hysteria, or let's say I respond to mass hysteria, which I have not, but let's say, you know, if you respond to mass hysteria, you know, you really probably haven't really found your God. You really haven't found your Creator. Do you really have a relationship? What kind of relationship do you have with your Creator if it can be so easily disrupted by some kind of mass hysteria that comes along? Are you really as grounded as you think you are? These are good questions to be, by the way, to be asking yourself. If you did respond, if you did respond to the mass hysteria, that's not the end of the world. You know, now's the time to ask yourself the question. Well, you know, was this the right response? Why did I respond? Why did I, you know, become hysterical? Why did I behave this way? It's a good time to ask yourself that question. But our lives really do revolve around, in large part, you know, not only how we, you know, the relationship we have with our Creator, and whether you're, you may claim to be an atheist or not, you still have a relationship with whatever it is that brought you into existence, whatever it is that sustains your existence, whatever it is that makes you conscious, that sustains that consciousness. You have a relationship. So now's a really good time to ask yourself, you know, kind of probe that relationship. But, you know, not only do we have that relationship, but then we have a relationship with other people. You know, and that's where the social part comes in. And in the ideal world, each individual has a, you know, has the proper relationship and is not prone to hysteria. They have their own personal proper relationship with their Creator. And then everyone is able to interact based on that. On the social side. But of course the problem is that people tend to relate to their Creator as if as some sort of guilty conscience. A guilty conscience to be distanced from, and then so then they want to reconstruct everything in sort of a man-made social model. Thus, you end up with communism, the idea of communism, godless communism, and socialism. And those don't work. Those things fail. They're based on lies. Take a good look at the communist Chinese. It's all based on lies, and it's based around lies. And lies are a lousy motivator. So this virus thing really has acted as a massive earthquake. Kind of, but it's really a social earthquake. And so hopefully it will, and I realize that it's not utopia. Everybody's not going to kind of be forced to face reality. Everyone's not going to be forced to kind of face their conscience, make friends with it, make friends with their Creator. Everyone's not going to do that. I know that. But hopefully enough people will. So, you know, I think that's really an important thing that's kind of happening, that, you know, that can come from this. You know, so there's going to be some things that, you know, that end up just becoming swept away because they were sort of built on sand, if you want to think of it that way. They're sort of built on sand and is, you know, house of cards, and it kind of collapses. Other things will remain. Or you'll get, you know, brand new things sort of, you know, in the aftermath. So, but, you know, the idea, you know, that everything's going to, you know, be delivered or whatever, that a drone is going to deliver your stuff to you, pie in the sky. Total pie in the sky. You can do packages, Amazon, FedEx, DHL, that type of thing. Yeah, that works okay. But everything that you need to live, not so much. But we do rely on each other. We do, you know, we do rely on people producing goods and services. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about, is those goods and services being produced. The more goods and services that are produced, the better off everyone, you know, the more elevated everyone's lifestyle is, the better off we all are. And of course, psychologically, people need to work. They need to produce. They need to be producing things for other people. Go back into the book of Genesis. You know, you know, God told Adam and Eve, you know, you will work by the sweat of your brow. And that's actually a good thing, to produce things, to produce goods and services. There are a lot of people that are simply dying at home right now, and that's an interesting phenomenon I haven't heard discussed very much. But the death rate of people at home has kind of skyrocketed. And, you know, and eventually that may emerge. You know, statistically that may emerge, but that has gone up. And it's not really clear, is it because they've closed down the regular medical stuff and people aren't seeking their doctor? That might be part of it. But then there may be, you know, people might be simply dying because they don't have anything to live for. They're not, their typical social life has been disrupted and they just have nothing to live for and they just kind of die, lose the will to live. I don't know. It's probably a number of different factors. But it's really a bad idea to, you know, just kind of lock people up in their homes and, oh, well, you just, they're, watch your TV or whatever. Bad idea. So, by the way, you want to say audiophile, stereo buff. I don't really consider myself an audiophile. But I, you know, over the years, I've spent a rather kind of a small fortune on speakers and hi-fi equipment and that type of stuff. So I have these really big speakers that date back into the 80s, the 1980s, and the brand name was VMPS. V as in Victor, VMPS. You know, and so these speakers, I've had them, you know, I probably got them sometime, I'm guessing around maybe 1987, somewhere in there. And, you know, so I've had them and, you know, had them in my dining room at home. And the problem, you know, a couple of months ago, I noticed, you know, I took the grills off of them and I was kind of looking at them. And, of course, these speakers have multiple speaker elements within each cabinet. And so the woofers, you know, it's like a 12-inch woofer, you know, in both of them had just, you know, was completely deteriorated. You know, the outer, you know, the cone part was, you know, it's just deteriorated. You know, it's just falling apart. So I could either try to get that repaired. There are people that do speaker repair or whatever, and I really didn't want to mess with that. So what I ended up doing, I ended up ordering a pair of Pioneer, and the model number is FS 52, FS for floor standing. And from what I've, you know, everything I've heard about those are, they're pretty decent speakers. Of course, I've never heard them, but there's this famous speaker designer, Andrew Jones, that used to work for Pioneer. Now I guess he works for ELAC, that designed those, I guess, about 7 years ago, and they're still selling that same model, the FS-52. So those will be waiting for me whenever I get home, so that, you know, have fun kind of unboxing those and playing around with them. And I have to decide what I'm going to do with those old VMPS speakers, you know, because some people online love to get their hands on vintage speakers and then, you know, kind of rebuild them and do all that. But the problem is those things are gigantic. You know, they're the size, each one is the size of a small refrigerator. They're huge. So it would probably cost a fortune to try to ship those somewhere if I was trying to sell them on eBay or whatever. So I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do with them. Maybe I can find somebody locally there in Northwest Arkansas that can maybe take them off my hands, or maybe I can, you know, I don't know if Goodwill would take them or not, considering that they're really not in a usable condition right now because of the, you know, those both 12-inch woofers, and each one are just falling apart. You know, the outer cone is just disintegrated. So, not sure what I'm going to do about that, but, I'm probably, for the time being, I'll just kind of stick them out in the shed or something. So, anyway, there hasn't been a whole lot else going on. Like I say, this past 7 days is, for some reason, it just seems like a month. And it really, it's only been 7 days. And normally, 7 days for me goes by, you know, it's like a couple of days and 7 days have gone by. But it's just really, really dragged. And I'm not exactly sure why. I think going back, I think it may have had something to do with the fact that, the part of the time I was doing stuff in the day, and then part of the time it was in the middle of the night, and then, sleeping at odd hours and what have you. And I maybe wasn't as busy as I was before either. So that might have figured into it. I don't know. So, because it does make a difference, if I'm, the busier I am, of course, the quicker the time goes by, or seems to go by. So, but should, like I say, I'm due home by the 30th, kind of looking forward to that, and, kind of get away from the truck for a few days. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great week. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.